How many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Gave up on it, huh? Yeah, when you're 20 or 30 years old, you know, resolutions, that sounds like a good idea. After we have blown off so many resolutions at our age, we say, don't need no stinking resolution. All right. First, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Lord, bless this word to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, as it turns out, New Year's resolutions are common practice in Western societies. Eastern societies, they don't have New Year's resolutions. So, but basically, what we do, you know, like how many times have I said, I've got to get in shape. I've got to lose some weight. I've got to, you know, start taking my vitamins. I've got to start are doing this. It's basically what you're doing is you're determining what is wrong, and then now we've developed through this resolution a fix how to do it. So Webster defines resolution as the act or process of resolving. The act of finding an answer or solution to a conflict, problem, etc. It's from the Latin rolvere, which means to loosen, release, or explain. Basically, resolution and its root word, resolve, means to see a problem and fix it. All right? Solve it. And so, let's see. We do this every day. We see things. We fix it. There's an insect crawling across the floor. We don't like insects in our kitchen. We fix it. The insect dies. All right. Okay. An excruciating death. All right. For instance, lately I wake up and I've got headaches in the morning. And I said, what am I doing differently now than before that now I have a headache? And, well, I had taken my pillow that you use for when you're sitting up in bed, what they call it, a back pillow or something like that, and I would sit and I would sleep on that because I had indigestion. And so if I slept on that pillow, then I wouldn't have indigestion. Well, I went ahead and looked at that. Well, why do I have indigestion now when I didn't have it earlier? And I found out, well, if I eat within 3 hours of going to bed, I'm going to have indigestion. Okay? So, the good fix, the permanent fix, is not taking a headache pill in the morning, because the headache that I had from the back pillow that I had to use because of the indigestion that I had because I ate too late last night, is don't eat late at night. Okay, I mean, that's a pretty quick resolve right there, isn't it? So, don't eat after 7, and Terry and her sister have a little saying, after 6, sticks. And so that's something to, you know, to keep in mind. For me, if I don't eat after 7, I don't have any heartburn. So, this whole idea of seeing a problem and going for the root of that problem, it is all through our culture. In philosophy, it's called the principle of causation. Okay? Something happened that caused this to take place. And that's what I was doing. Why was I getting a headache? And I just worked back from there. All right? In physics, it's called Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there's a equal and opposite reaction. So something is going to happen. There's going to be a result of that action. In Eastern religions, it's called karma. Okay? And an individual's actions, intentions, and deeds determine their future experiences. All right? Whether you're coming back as a Brahma bull or you're coming back as a roach. So, you know, you've messed up when you wake up and you're a roach. It's okay. Must have done something wrong in my previous life, all right? In Christianity, it's known as the law of sowing and reaping. All right, Galatians 6, starting at verse 7, says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up. Okay? And so I have, you know, when I'm talking to groups of businessmen or business people, whatever, I call that the law of Christian karma, and reaping what you sow. Now, Albert Einstein, he has been credited with stupidity, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, but he did not say that. Okay, what he did say was, if you want different results, don't do the same things. Okay? And he realizes that, you know, our actions have consequences. As a matter of fact, right now, every one of us are sitting in this room and listening to this message based on a lifetime of choices that you have made. I made the choice not to mute my phone before I got up here. Alright? And so the result is, it's bothering me in the middle of the message. Somebody, their notes are more important than my preaching. Well, I can fix that right there. That's gone. Alright. Okay. But it's true. You say, well, okay, close off. Excuse me just a minute. Excuse me just a minute. Okay. The devil cannot have the best of me. Shut down phone. All right. I'm going to power down. That's right. You certainly are. Power off. Okay. Goodbye, Metro. Okay. So anyhow, as I said, we're here as a result of every choice that we've made. Maybe at the age of 6 or 8 or 12, you decided to be a Christian. That would, you know, put you in church on Sunday morning. If you're a true believer, that's where you want to be. Somebody, you know, you decided to get married, live your life, choose whatever job you had, and you ended up here in Katy, Texas, looking for a place to live. And you made the choice to live at the Grand Parkway Senior Living Apartments. All of those choices all come together and bring us here this morning. Our lives are the sum total of every choice we've ever made. Now, when I'm working with my cadets, I'm a chaplain, we have a thing called core values. And core values are something that they are ingrained in your very soul. Now, for the Air Force, it is, let me see here. I know I've got it down here somewhere. And I'm always telling the cadets, get up and give me the core values. Okay. Integrity, service before self, and excellence. And so those are the Air Force core values. And what I do with my young people, is I give them examples every week of how one of these core values function in their lives. And I'm hoping that when they get to a place in their life where they have to make a decision right now, that those core values are going to be the power, the essence that guides that decision. Okay? As a matter of fact, what happened at Gulf War I, which now, the kids in high school today weren't alive during Gulf War I. Can you believe that? in Gulf War One, one of the things that all of the training instructors, drill instructors, whatever, noticed was these recruits, they've got this, they want to serve their country, but they don't have any core values. They don't have a solid what's right and what's wrong. And so the call went out to all chaplains that were involved in any way. Teach the core values, and every branch of the military has core values. So we teach the core values, and hopefully, if you have the core value of respect, I'll tell my young men, okay, hey, you're going to find yourself in the back seat of an automobile with a young lady, and things are going to get hot and heavy, and you're going to have to rely on your core values. You respect her, so you're not going to let it go this far. Excellence. You have dedicated your life to excellence. You're not going to allow yourself to do this thing. It's because when you get in the heat of passion or the heat of war, you know, it's just whatever is there is what you, you know, that's how you're going to react. And hopefully we have built up those core values to the point where that controls them. So I wanted to talk about today for just a few minutes how our Christian core values are going to integrate into my Christian walk in 2026. The core values, all right? Now, the first core value that I want to look at is God's Word. How important to you is God's Word? Jesus said it's the Word of life. All right? It's only through God's Word that you'll find life. And so I, myself, am going to honor God's Word with 10 minutes of Bible reading. This is besides the stuff that I send you guys on, you know, in the morning. 10 minutes of Bible reading and 5 minutes of reflection. All right? Because when you read the Word of God, if you just read it and then blow on through to the next verse, if you don't stop and ask God, how does this apply to my life, then the Word of God isn't doing you any good. You have to determine how this applies to your life. And so Psalm 119:11 says, "The Word of God have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee." Okay, how do you know what is sin and what isn't sin if you don't know God's Word? Amen? And so as a core to my belief, I have dedicated that in 2026, I'm going to spend just 10 minutes, because I do a whole lot of other studying and stuff like that, but I want to do this with you. This is something that we can all do together. 10 minutes of reading God's Word, and then 5 minutes of reflection. How does this apply to my life? And that is going to now get His Word, His way of thinking, His priorities into my heart. All right? Number two, I'm going to go to church and get involved with church functions. All right, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Folks, some people say, "Well, if I miss church today, nobody at church is going to miss me." Okay? Well, that's not true, because you're family and we miss you when you're not here. But what's more, that your priorities are wrong with that. It's not, will we miss you, will you miss church? Okay, if you don't go to church on this Sunday morning, how is that going to affect your Christian walk for the rest of the week? Because there is an encouragement that we get from each other. When we sing these songs, there's a reason in this church why we sing our songs all together. Most of us come from churches where we sing a song, you know, then do something else, and we sing another song and do something else, and sing another song and do something else. But you see, for me, song is a way of worship. And I want to enter in to a place of worship. That's why we sing our songs together. So the Holy Spirit just says, you know, starts doing something in my heart, and then, oh, gotta stop, because he's going to talk about something else now. So I like to give the Holy Spirit a chance to minister to our hearts when we're singing, because singing is the portal to praise. Amen? And so it does us harm to miss church. And you know, it's interesting that being in church on Sunday morning is not an option for me. You know, after Terry and I were married and I took a job, we were up in Michigan, I took a job in Arkansas, and so I went to live with her brother and his family for a month or two, while I was determining, do I want to do this job? Do I want to move my family from Michigan to Arkansas? You know, can I do the job and all of that? And so they said, well, here's our guest room. You can go ahead and stay in there. And Sunday morning comes along, and they're all up and hustling around and getting ready for church. And I walk out, and I've got my Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on. What, you're going to church? I said, it's Sunday morning, isn't it? Just because my wife isn't there, you know, looking after me, making sure I'm not in church, doesn't mean that that's what I do as a child of God. I'm in church. Alright? Because, why? Because I need to be there. Okay? Number three, okay, we talked about honoring God's Word by spending 10 minutes in reading His Word and 5 minutes of reflection. Number two, going to church, getting involved with the church functions. Number three, continue this practice that we have, of our prayer list. In letting the Holy Spirit guide us, and for visitors that we have today, we don't spend a whole lot of time in prayer here because we have a whole list of things. We have a prayer line. People call in and they put their requests on the prayer line, and Bob types this up, prints it off, and we pick it up on our way out of church, and then I take one of those clips that has a magnet on the back of it, and I clip it right to the refrigerator that is in my office. So whenever I walk from my chair to anywhere, I walk right by that little refrigerator, and I just let the Holy Spirit of God direct me to that. And Galatians says, but if we walk by the Spirit, then we'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. But walking by the Spirit is something that you can go from one denomination to another, and, you know, there are as many definitions of walking in the Spirit as there are denominations. And probably as many definitions of walking in the Spirit are there as there are churches within each said denomination. Everybody has a different idea of what it means to walk in the Spirit. What it means is to be open to the Holy Spirit of God saying, do this. Do this. And so this little thing that we do with our prayer list is just an exercise in that to get us used to doing that. And then the last thing that I would challenge everybody to do is find yourself a Bible buddy. Alright, now, in the Army and the Marine Corps, they have what they call battle buddies. I don't know what the Navy calls their... Do you know what the Navy calls? The shipmates. Okay. And in the Air Force, Terry said, in the Air Force, we have wingmen. I'm your wingman. Okay? And no matter where you are in the line of chain of command, that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a captain and you have, you know, a whole company of men and women under your command, and you have lieutenants and sergeants and all that stuff that are, you know, every one person has one other person who is their wingman, who is their shipmate, who is their battle buddy. And you're watching out for each other. And when you're living together with somebody 24/7, you know what is normal and what is abnormal. So that if you're out and on patrol or something, and your battle buddy starts acting kind of goofy, you just take the butt end of your M4 and you smack him on the helmet and say, straighten up! That's not how we do that. Oh, okay. You're looking out for each other. Now, I don't want you smacking each other. Okay. But you, every one of us, needs to have a Bible buddy. Somebody that we can be accountable to. Somebody that we can go to them with our desires. That means that you're going to have to make sure that you're not a gossiper, because that kills any chance of, you know, trust if somebody is taken. Oh, you never believe what my Bible buddy told me. That is one sick puppy, let me tell you. You know, and all ears do this. Oh, you got a sick puppy for a Bible buddy, huh? Tell us all about it. Okay, but if you have a Bible buddy, and let's say that you're having a problem, and you know, the devil has got you with a certain habit, and so you make that determination before God, I don't want to do this anymore. Okay, but if you really want to make that stick, tell it, share it with your Bible buddy. And then every time they meet, your Bible buddy is going to be saying, hey, how's it going with that? And if you're honest with each other, pretty soon it becomes easier not to do that thing than it is to humiliate yourself and confess, yeah, I did it again. Okay? And really, it's been established that the percentage that I heard was 80, but I can't believe it. It's probably 60% of ministers, that's priests, pastors, rabbis, anybody, you know, 60% are, they're just captive by pornography. Okay, think about that, is that they are addicted to pornography. And I got to thinking, well, how could that happen? And the reason is that basically most pastors don't answer to anybody. Even if they have an overseer, which, you know, in the Catholic Church would be a bishop or whatever, how often is that bishop there in their life? Okay? And so you've got this time that nobody's holding you accountable for, and so it's very easy for the devil to ensnare you in that trap. Whereas if each pastor, minister, had a Bible buddy that they could go to and in all honesty say, the devil's got me in this. Then you've got somebody who you're accountable with, and then they can ask you how you're doing, pray with you, and things like that. Don't worry about worst case scenario like pornography, but anything that we're dealing with, anything that is going on in our lives which we know is not pleasing to God, if we have, you know, the internet is a great bear trap. Alright, I have to be so careful. It'll be 9 o'clock. I'm going to check my Facebook page. 10:30. Hey, you going to be out there all night? Oh, I just sat down to check. Hour and a half gone. All right. I have to regulate myself because things like that can just steal time away from me. And time is the one thing that God has blessed all of us with the same amount. And I do believe that one of the things that we're going to be judged on the judgment day is, what did you do with the time that I gave you? Well, I used it, on Facebook, or I used it on this, or I used it on that, or I used it walking the hallways and sharing Jesus with my friends. Okay? So there really is. We may be living here in this apartment. So, you know, a lot of people living here, single person, apartments. So the wife has died or the husband has died or whatever. They're living by themselves, and they're not accountable to anybody. You know, and life can just get away from you. We had a couple here that were the grandparents to somebody who was in our youth group back when we had Mason Road Assembly. And I had his name on the tip of my tongue. They were, you know, both here. Both of them had, you know, some dementia problems or whatever. But Grandpa was just losing weight and losing weight. And it was so alarming. The family, the grandkids, how come Grandpa's losing weight? Well, it just turns out that their dementia had progressed to the point where neither one of them remembered to eat. Okay? And so I told them, I said, now listen, your grandkids are going to haul you off and put you in memory care if you don't address this situation. You need to go out and get yourself a case of one of these meal replacements. And, you know, whether it's Glucerna, if you have diabetes or whatever, you can have some meal replacements and meal replacements. Please don't replace us males, okay? You can have some meal replacements and have one or two of those a day, and then all you have to do is, you know, warm up something for supper. And even with Terry and I, you know, we've got a freezer full of TV dinners. And so if we're, you know, have been working hard, we will many times just not eat all day long. We'll just, you know, be so busy doing things that we'll get to the end of the day. And Terry's big concern is, did we feed the dog today? And I say, well, no. And as a matter of fact, I haven't eaten all day today. And so we'll grab one of those TV dinners and eat it. So, you know, we have to, if we have somebody who is our Bible buddy, then all of these little things that could so easily beset us, which simply means throw us off track, we can be handled if we have somebody that we're meeting with on a regular basis, whether it's telephone call or whatever. I'd just love to see you. I know that Grace has her Bible study, and we have our Wednesday evening Bible study and all that. But, you know, there's you get together and just read the Bible. There are so many things that you can do as a Bible buddy, and it has applies so much more than just the Word of God, although Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so we have the whole idea of community, as forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Okay, we have that community involvement in church, but also the one-on-one involvement when you have your Bible buddy, or whatever you want to call that. Okay? But if we can do this, do these four things, and we will, if nothing else, be better stewards of the time that God has given us. Amen? And then, these core values, because you can use them as core values to honor God's Word by reading His Word and meditating on it, going to church, getting involved in church functions, praying as we're led by the Holy Spirit, which just opens up the door to all new possibilities as we learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And then accountability and encouragement, iron sharpens iron. You can get down to real brass tacks when you're one-on-one. Okay, when you're with your Bible buddy and you're saying, okay, I'm dealing with this, or I've got this going on in my life or in the life of my family, how do you think I should handle this? And then you can pray with it together. You're not by yourselves. God gave you each other. We don't have to go through this experience on our own. Amen? God has given us the church as a community, and He's also given us each one another as a one-on-one fellowship. So go ahead and take advantage of that. When we do that, that's like building core values within ourselves. It's what we do just out of second nature. What am I going to do? It's Sunday morning, I'm getting up and going to church. That's just how it is, all right? So how can I integrate core values into my spiritual life? Repetition. Just start doing it. Just start doing it. Amen? You know, and Terry and I have been missionaries to India for almost 30 years, and they have a saying in India, how do you eat an elephant? That's right. One bite at a time. If you look at the whole thing, you say, that's not going to work. But if you look at it one bite of a time, okay? And the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. Okay? And so what we do is we start looking at the whole thing and we get discouraged. Whereas if we just look at, let me take the first step. Amen? And what's going to happen if we do these things, we're going to be better stewards of the time that God has given us. How many of you have said this week, well, I wish I had the time to do such and such? Alright? We always, I wish I had the time. Well, each one of us has as much time as God has given anybody else. It's just how we choose to use that time. Now, I'm a great one for starting new projects and not completing the previous one. poor Terry sitting over there and said, preach it, brother. She's being good. All right. And so I might say, well, if I just had the time. Well, I do have the time. I've got all the time in the world. I just have to make the right choices of what I'm going to invest my time in. That's my challenge for you for 2026. Alright? Just choose what you are going to invest your time in. Okay? Elon Musk, he only has 24 hours in a day. Okay? But he's, you know, multi-billionaire. You know, all these guys that are successful by the world standards, they have exactly the same amount of time as we do. It's just how we choose to invest it. Amen. Father God, thank you so much for your love.